Bow your heads with me and let's talk to God and let's listen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We rejoice with you. We come before you humbly because we want to hear your words now. We want to be changed by you now. So pour forth your Spirit into this place, that the words spoken will not be mine, that the words heard will not be ours. But you, Lord, and you alone will be glorified today. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin today a sermon series on the life of Peter. So today is part one, a Peter series, A New Name, Please. It's amazing to think that the God of the universe wants to know you. The God who made everything, the Ancient of Days, wants you to know him. Not just know about him, but to really know him. See, God has given us the world that we have, this created world. And in this world, if we look closely enough, we can actually see God's handiwork. We can see evidences of God. Even in the animal kingdom, the wonderful things that God has made, all the animals can teach us a little bit about God if we look close enough. They're amazing creatures, and I think one of the most amazing animals that we have from God has got to be the tiny little caterpillar. Now, as far as bugs go, caterpillars get a good rap. I mean, most bugs, as soon as we see them, we want to squish them or we want to run, but caterpillars, we're all right with caterpillars. We like them. They're cute. Kids love to get them and find them and pet them, and then they put them in a jar, and they put them in the jar because they want to watch and they want to wait. The thing that makes a caterpillar so amazing is because it goes through this incredible metamorphosis that changes the caterpillar. It goes from crawling to flying, from a caterpillar into a butterfly. See, one of the grandest themes in the Bible is change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 speaks of this and says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's what we celebrate today with Mason's baptism. He's a new creature today in Christ. And when the Bible talks about this change, this newness that's happening, it's not talking about a New Year's resolution to some small little problem that we have to fix. It's not talking about a tune-up, but Scripture speaks about a major overhaul happening in our lives, similar to the drastic change that happens in the life of a caterpillar that brings forth a butterfly. And there is one man's story in the Bible that illustrates this need for change, maybe more than most of the others. Today we're going to begin looking at this man whose name was Simon, son of Jonah. A man who needed a new name. Now, we find Simon early in each of the Gospels. He appears very quickly. And the first thing we learn about Simon is that he was a worker, hard worker, and he was a fisherman. So we find out that Simon is, he's not a scholar, he's not a scribe. He certainly learned about God, but he didn't go on to the upper levels of learning. So what do we learn about Simon? If you want to open your Bibles with me, we're going to be flipping around through the Gospels, and we're going to start in Mark chapter 1 today. So if you got your Bible with you, open it up, or if you've got your phone with the Bible on it, click it on, or if you have to, scoot next to somebody who's got a Bible. Or there is some in the back of the pews too. Find one and let's look through the Bible today and find out about this man named Simon. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. So one of the first things we figure out about Simon, which I think we tend to forget, is Simon was married. He had a mother-in-law. It's strange to think about Simon or any of the disciples as being married. How would you react if the next time we brought a guest speaker here to Piedmont. You came and we all listened to him. And then when you got home, your spouse said to you, you know what, honey, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to start following that guy. I'm just going to follow him and I don't need to work anymore. How would you feel if your spouse said that to you? Strange what happened in their lives. Now, Simon was a religious man. If you turn with me to John chapter 1, we're going to look at these first few glimpses of Simon. We go to John chapter 1, we see him there and see a picture of him. So if you turn a couple books back from Mark, you'll find John in chapter 1, verse 41. This is talking about Simon's brother Andrew. It says, Andrew, after hearing Jesus, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we've found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. So Simon's brother goes and he checks out this Jesus guy that they've been hearing about. And he gets so excited, he comes and he grabs Simon and says, you've got to hear it. We've found him. This is the one. And Simon, like most Jews of that time, was looking for the coming Messiah. But now let's take a look at Simon in action. We've heard about him. We've seen a little bit of his family life. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke now, chapter 5, and let's see Simon in action. Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. It's our story that Manuela spoke about in our children's time today. What do we learn about Simon? Starting in verse 3, it says, then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So what do we learn about Simon? What do we see in this little interchange between him and Jesus? The first thing we realize is Simon trusted himself. He says, we fished all night. He knew what Jesus was asking him to do was a waste of time. So he trusted himself. But Simon was also obedient. Because he says, at your word, we'll do it. We'll let down the net. Now I know a little bit about fishermen because my grandpa loved to fish. My grandpa taught all of us grandkids how to fish when we were just a little bit older than Max. I mean, we started early fishing. He taught us how to fish, and now he's even taught his great-grandkids how to fish. Now, folks, I've gone on many fishing excursions with my grandpa. I would not dare to dream to tell grandpa how to fish. Grandpa, I think you should do this. Here, let me show you. He would look at me. My grandpa's a World War II vet, a loving man, but you don't tell him how to fish. He would say, Michael, preacher, sit down and pipe down, and I'll show you how to do it. But Jesus tells these experienced fishermen what to do, and Simon obeys, even though in his mind and his knowledge of fishing, it makes no sense. It's a waste of time. Now, sometimes we tend to focus on the negative of Simon. Say, oh, well, he did this. He's headstrong. He's self-confident. But notice in verse 8 of chapter 5, he sees this miracle. He sees the nets are busting with fish as they pull him up. And watch what he says. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He sees the miracle, and he calls himself a sinner. He says, you just need to leave me. I'm a sinner. Simon had his problems, and Jesus chose him for this reason, because Simon knew he had problems. He knew he was a sinner, and that would make Simon teachable. If we want God to call us, if we want God to use us, we have to recognize our sins and our need for help. Well, let's talk a little bit about Simon's name change. In John chapter 1, verse 42, Jesus says to him, I try to imagine what they were doing at that time. Maybe they were walking along. Maybe they were sitting down eating. But in John chapter 1, we see this amazing interchange. John chapter 1 and verse 42. This is right after Andrew has brought Simon to Jesus. It says, "Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Kephas,' or Peter, which is translated a stone." He said, "You're going to be called Peter." Why the name change? Would you want your name to be changed? Someone came along to you and said, "We're not going to call you Russ anymore. We're going to call you Cole." How would you feel if someone came up to you and said, "Your name is changing"? Well, lots of people, when they get into show business, they change their name. In fact, when I was in radio, I didn't go by Michael Halfhill. You can't say Halfhill on the air. It sounds like Hatfield. So I went by Mick Young for a while, and then I switched and I was Michael Young for a while. I was determined to always be young. It's not worked out real well. But I changed my name, and a lot of people do that in show business. Now, how many of you know who Robert Zimmerman is? Have you heard of Robert Zimmerman? Only one, hand moved. Maybe you know him better by his name, Bob Dylan. Changed his name. Some of you still don't know who it is, so you have to get on Google later. So you young ones have to figure that out. So for you young ones, let's see if you know. Do you young ones know who Dwayne Johnson is? Have you heard of him? Maybe. You might know him better as The Rock. He didn't get that name from Jesus, but he's called The Rock. Some of you older folks will have to Google that one and see if you can figure out who that is. Many times we change our name in order to leave the past behind us. But we're going to find that Peter's past keeps creeping up in the stories, even after the name change. And Peter's name literally means rock or little stone. So was Peter an unshakable rock in the Gospels? In the stories, was he just an unshakable rock in the Gospel? Not hardly. Not at all. We're going to see that Jesus called him Peter, or rock, not for who Simon was, but for who Jesus would help him become. Jesus promises to change Peter. And that story there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, if you'll turn with me there. We see this interchange when Peter and his friends are fishing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus comes along right there as they're there by the sea. They got the nets. And it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Jesus promises to change Peter, and change is a prominent theme in the Bible. But if we're honest with ourselves, how many of us really like change? Do you like having change in your life, or do you like the status quo? Some of you who've graduated from high school or academy, you remember you get that yearbook, and you're so excited to graduate, and you take your yearbook around, and people sign in it. Do you remember that, having that happen? I remember, and so you got the pictures there, and everybody with the ancient hairstyles, you'll be able to look back and think, what were we thinking? But everybody writes their names, stuff down about you, and I can remember so many people who would write down next to their name and next to their picture, and they would say, "Michael, never change, man. Stay the same." There's just that sentiment as you're graduating to stay young. But my friends, don't expect God to write "never change" in your yearbook, because he's not going to do it. We need to change, and God knows it. But now, speaking about years and times that pass, Jeanette, I may forget these things from time to time. How old am I getting to be these days? How old am I now? No, I'm not almost 40. I'm 39. There's a big difference. 39 years old. And they said, "Never change, man." Wouldn't you think a 39-year-old would be a little silly if he was still acting like he was 18? Like, this guy's got some screws loose. We're supposed to change over time. We have to grow. We have to change. Watch this now. Jesus says to Simon, follow me, and everything will change. But notice who causes the change. Jesus says, I will make you. Jesus is the source of the change. Amen. I will make you, he says. Jesus has to be the one who makes the change, not us. Amen? Amen. We just have to be willing to allow him to change us.
Right.
Is God calling you to change? Is God Almighty calling you to follow him? Is he calling you not for just a little tune-up, but for a complete overhaul in your life? Well, the gospel stories that we're going to look at, they're going to reveal that Peter had that new name on the outside, but little change on the inside. So we're going to look at a few of those stories today. Now, Peter seems to be the unofficial leader or spokesman of the disciples. Anytime you find a list in the gospels of the disciples, Peter's always listed first. And he tends to be the one that's kind of doing a lot of the speaking. So Peter had leadership qualities, but he was not changed just by having a new name. When you think about Peter in the Bible, what's the first thing you think of? What do you think about with Peter? Yeah, I think a lot of times when we think about Peter, we think about his mistakes that come along. It's like every story, he seems to be stepping his foot in it or putting his foot in his mouth or something. He's always making these mistakes. When it comes to messing up, Peter was first class. He gets an A for mistakes. So let's look at a few of these mistakes in the Bible. If you're in the Gospel of Matthew, let's stay there for a little bit. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's see one of these classic stories about Peter. Had a new name, but still had some changing. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. The disciples are out on the sea. They're fighting against the wind and the current. They're rowing. They're getting nowhere. Verse 24 says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They said, it's a ghost. And they were afraid. They're caught in the storm, and they see Jesus. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. What would you do if you were in the boat? Peter's first inclination is to stand up and say, Jesus, if it's really you, command me to walk on the water to you. And Jesus says, come on. So out he goes. He steps out of the boat. It's not a frozen lake that they're in, folks. He steps out on the boat, onto the water, and he's standing on the water. And he starts walking, and then the story goes on, and we kind of get on Peter, don't we? So, oh man, look at Peter. There he goes. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts to look at the wind, starts to look at the waves, and where does he end up? Starts going down, down, down. And oh, don't we hit on Peter? We say, look at him, focusing on the waves, not keeping his eyes on Jesus, messing up again. But wait just a second. Before we throw too many stones at Peter, at least he was willing to get out of the boat. Amen? The other disciples are too scared to come near Jesus. But a reoccurring theme that we find in all the Gospels is that Peter desperately wants to be near Jesus. Always. Gets him into trouble sometimes, but he wants to be near Jesus. So Peter's faith caused him to get up out of the boat and on to the water. Watch this, friends. Our faith has to cause us to move. Amen? If we've got faith in Jesus, we've got to be ready to get out of our comfy boat. Don't poke too much at Peter. Are we still sitting by the shoreline messing with our nets after Jesus has said, come, follow me? Or are we still sitting in the boat, afraid to do something incredible for God? Well, friends, walking on water was not Peter's greatest mistake. There's more. If you'll turn the page to Matthew chapter 16, what else can we learn from this man who had a name change? Matthew chapter 16, we actually find Peter arguing with Jesus. You ever imagine arguing with Jesus? Wait, I'm going to have to set Jesus straight on this. He's got a little off. He does. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Says, then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Wow. Jesus has just started telling them that he was going to go to the cross. He's just started telling them this is going to happen. And then Peter says, no, wait a second now. You got it wrong. You're all wrong. And he tries to talk some sense into Jesus. And Jesus pulls no punches with him. Verse 23, some of the strongest words you ever find Jesus say, he says, get behind me, Satan. To Peter, get behind me, Satan. Whoa. Now, Peter had just confessed that Jesus was the Messiah just a few verses before. In verse 16, says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. But now, unknowingly, Peter is tempting Jesus. He doesn't realize it, but he's doing it. See, Peter wanted the Christ without the cross. And you cannot separate the two. And Jesus knew that. And he would not accept it. But I'm amazed when I see these stories in the Bible at how real these characters are. They don't gloss over their mistakes. These stories about Peter's blunders help me believe this book. Because if you were just making up the story, if this story was a lie that was devised by Peter and Paul and John, then surely wouldn't they have written the stories painting themselves in a little better light? Well, I'm not going to tell this part of the story where I really blew it. But they put it in there. And if you were lying about the story, if you were making it up, you wouldn't write down all these mistakes unless they were all true. Are there any more blunders from Peter? Yeah, there are. We find Peter and the others in Jesus' darkest hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26. We find this story that happens. Matthew 26. Jesus has again told them that you're all going to leave me. You're all going to run away from me and abandon me. And look what Peter says. Oh, man. Peter answered and said to him, verse 33, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Peter trusted himself. He said, they may leave. They may walk away, but not me. I'm in. I'll stand. This story teaches us that we should trust the word of the Lord even over our convictions and feelings. Amen. Peter knew in his heart, I'll never leave. But the word of the Lord told him something different. He said, you will deny me. Now let me ask you something. This night in the garden, was Peter willing to fight and die that night as he proclaimed? What do you think? Was he willing to die that night? I think he was, friends. I think he was. Because when the crowd comes and they grab Jesus and they seize him, what does Peter do? He grabs his sword, pulls it out, and he attacks. He's the first one to strike. Verse 51 says he attacks with the sword. Now, Matthew doesn't peg Peter as the one doing it, but John tells us that Peter was the one holding the sword and cut off the man's ear. Now, who is he fighting against? Remember, this is he's attacking an angry crowd with armed soldiers. Peter attacks against overwhelming odds. It's like suicide. Now, perhaps Peter expected Christ to fight too. But instead, Jesus rebukes Peter. And Peter watches as his master allows himself to be taken. And all his hope crumbles. See, Peter was willing to fight and to die. That was not the problem that night. There was a different problem. How many of us deep down think that when the end comes, I will stand for God? When it's life and death, when the believers are being forced to turn away from God and not obey and to break his commandments, I know it's coming, so I will be ready. How many of us think that? Well, my friends, listen to me. The disciples knew what was coming. They'd been told over and over again. They may not have understood, but Jesus told them, betrayal, arrest, the cross, it's all going to happen. But when push came to shove, they turned tail and ran. Why? What was the problem? Verse 40 will tell us. Matthew 26, verse 40. Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" Peter was willing to fight that night, but he wasn't willing to pray. And that was the problem. Are we not willing to do the little things in our walk with God? Not willing to pray, not willing to study, not willing to spend time with God every day? Are we like Peter today, asleep in the hour of need, not praying, still needing a change? And then finally, Peter's greatest mistake happens in Matthew 26, verse 69. Jesus has been arrested, he's been taken in, and again, Peter wants to be near. So verse 69, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You were also with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know." Peter's greatest mistake happens in Matthew 26, verse 69. Jesus has been arrested, he's been taken in, and again, Peter wants to be near. So verse 69, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You were also with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." And Peter denies Jesus three times. Now usually we hammer poor Peter over this horrible blunder, but I want you to look again with me at this story. Remember, our theme with Peter is he wants to be near Jesus. He wants to be near him always. So he goes there. He's in danger while he's there. He enters the courtyard and he's recognized. After you've been recognized, would you stay or leave? Peter sticks around. And pretty soon, a little while later, maybe 10 or 15 minutes passes, he gets recognized again. Now maybe the soldiers start to notice. What would you have said? I think I would have said, "You know what, it's getting kind of hot in here, and it's getting kind of late, and maybe I should head home." But even after being recognized the second time, he sticks around again. And he's recognized the third time. Finally, he curses to try to prove that he's not a follower of Jesus. And then Matthew, chapter 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter weeps. All that self-confidence, all that bravado is shattered, and Simon Peter is a broken man. Martin Luther once said that God creates out of nothing. So until we become nothing, God can make nothing of us. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom to see our need. My friends, are we like Peter today? Are we waiting by the sea? Are we working all day long, longing for a change in life, longing for a change in purpose? Jesus still calls to us, "Follow me." Are we like Peter today? We've got a new name at baptism. We're called Christian now. And yet, like Peter, still needing a change. Are we like Peter today? Willing to fight the good fight when the end time comes, but not willing to pray today, to be ready for the end. My friends, let's resolve in our hearts today. Let's resolve to listen to God as He tells us what needs changing in our lives. Let's listen to Him today. My friends, as we leave today, as we leave Peter this week, I don't want to leave you with this last scene of the disciple in tears. I don't want to leave you with that. I want you to hear his voice and his words that he wrote years after this scene. The wisdom that he gained. Our closing thought for the day, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us," Peter knew about being called, "to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while," hey, Peter knew about suffering, didn't he? "After you've suffered a while, God will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." He'll help you stand. "To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to leave you with the words of Peter, who was a broken man and remade by God. We're going to continue to learn the life of Peter in the next few weeks. But as we leave Peter today, I want you to remember that God was not done with this disciple. Amen? Great things lay ahead. And as we leave this place today, remember, God is not done with you either. Great things still lay ahead for each of us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're challenged today by the life of Peter, because though he had some missteps, Lord, he was just willing to follow you wherever it took him. Help us to be willing to follow too. Help us to be willing to get out of our boat. Help us to be willing to make a mistake if it means being near you. Lord, help us to give you our hearts. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.